Many, many people today are opposed to the Ten Commandments. They really don't like them. They say they're no longer relevant. They say that they are an old, out-of-date rule book. And so as a result, almost all of the commandments are completely disregarded, except for this one. We come this evening in our study of the Ten Commandments to the sixth commandment, found in Exodus 20, verse 13, where God says, "You shall not murder." And it's probably the only commandment that everyone still accepts. Every culture has got some sort of a rule against murder. However, as we will see, if the world really grasped what the sixth commandment really requires of us, they would despise it as well as the rest. You shall not murder. That, by the way, is a better translation than the old translation, "Thou shalt not kill." Because there are times when God does permit killing. For instance, the killing of animals is permitted in Scripture for sacrifices or for food or for clothing, or the management of earth's resources. In fact, God also permits at times the killing of humans in Scripture in the interests of saving life. Killing may be done in a just war. Killing may be done in self-defense or in the defense of others. And killing may even be done in the capital punishment of the murderer. See Genesis 9 verse 6 and Romans 13 verse 4. And so what the commandment is talking about isn't so much killing, but unlawful killing. It's saying you shall not kill unlawfully. You shall not murder. How relevant this is to our society today. Tragically relevant. The murder rate is rising. There are people called serial killers who kill not just once, but again and again and again. We're seeing the murder of little children. And perhaps just as horrifying, we're seeing little children themselves committing murder. We like to think of our age as a civilized age, but it's an age in which human life is considered increasingly cheap. And in such an age, we need this commandment more than ever. You shall not murder. We want to ask three questions of this commandment this evening, helping us to understand it better. Firstly, how is murder wrong? How is murder wrong? Why has God given us this commandment? Why has He set it out as one of the Ten Commandments? Well, let me mention briefly two reasons why murder is wrong. Firstly, simply because of the value of human life. Because of the value of human life, human beings are a unique species. We read in Genesis 1:21, God created man in His own image. In the image of God He created him. Male and female He created them. That's true of no other being on this earth. No other creature. No other animal made in God's image. Human beings are unique. Human beings are the crown of God's creation. We've been made to reflect God and to relate to God and to know God and to worship God. That's true of no other creature. Not only are we a unique species, But every single human being in that species is a unique and irreplaceable creation of God. There will never be another person like you should the world last a billion years. There has never been another person exactly like you in the history of this world. You are absolutely 100% unique, irreplaceable. And when a human being is killed, something unique and special and irreplaceable is lost. That's exactly why God says in Genesis 9 verse 6 that murder is such a serious thing. Genesis 9 verse 6. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God has God made man. To destroy another human being is to destroy a unique, irreplaceable image bearer of God. That's true of every human being, friends. Doesn't matter what their character is. Doesn't matter what their social status is. Doesn't matter what their dress code or their personal hygiene is. Every human is made in the image of God. And people may be unimportant. They may be ungifted. They may be uneducated. They may be undeserving. They may be unworthy, unpleasant, unlovely. But they're still made in God's image. And that image may be defaced and damaged, but it's still there. And murder is wrong because of the value of human life. Murder is also wrong because of the nature of the act itself. Because of the nature of the act itself. Murder in its very nature is something violent and savage and cruel. But on top of that, it's something that's absolutely final. You can't undo murder. Some of the other sins forbidden in the Ten Commandments, they're not so final. If you steal money, for instance, and you afterwards you feel sorry about it, you might be able to return that money. Murder can never be undone. That human life is gone forever and ever, and nothing you do can ever bring it back. Not only does it damage the victim, but murder damages a whole plethora of people. It damages the family circle of the victim. And it causes heartache and sorrow, and it leaves widows and orphans. It damages the murderer himself or herself, their whole personality degraded and damaged. Not only that, but it spreads further and damages society as a whole. So that there's fear and suspicion and even a spirit of revenge sometimes. So murder's wrong because of the nature of the act itself. It's brutal, it's final, and it has huge consequences. This commandment for this evening, friends, is forcing us to consider just why murder is wrong. Two reasons. Are simply because of the value of life itself and because of the nature of the horrible act. Life is sacred. And in our world where life is considered increasingly cheap and people are killed for the most trivial of reasons and people are valued not for who they are but for what they have, here in the Ten Commandments, God is shouting to us loud and clear about the respect and the sanctity and the honour and the preciousness of every human life. How is murder wrong? And secondly, we want to ask, how is murder committed? How is murder committed? Perhaps at first sight, this commandment is one that you might think is no relevance to you. You would never dream of killing anyone. Perhaps you are beginning to think, well, here's something, and I don't really need to worry. Here's one commandment where I'm off the hook. Guilty as charged with the others so far, but I've never murdered. And as far as I intend, I never will. Oh, friend, we're going to see this evening that this commandment has an immediate and particular relevance to each and every one of us. And we're not as innocent as we might first imagine. This commandment is much deeper and much wider than it first appears. And there are at least 6 ways in which murder is committed. We want to run through these 6 ways murder is committed this evening. We're spending most of our time in this second point. The first way murder is committed is by premeditated killing. Premeditated killing, this is probably the most obvious way that you would think of when you think of murder. This is what we mean when we have a terrorist bomber intent on blowing up a shopping centre. Or when we have a gunman who goes on a shooting spree in a cinema. Or we have a jealous husband who kills his wife. This is premeditated killing. Deliberate, unlawful killing. It's referred to in Exodus 21, verses 12 and 14. Anyone who strikes a man and kills him shall surely be put to death. If a man schemes and kills another man deliberately, take him away from my altar and put him to death. God's speaking about deliberate, intentional, premeditated killing, and it's wrong. This means revenge killing's wrong. This means taking the law into your own hands is wrong. And this commandment very, very clearly forbids premeditated killing. Second way murder is committed is a terrible trio of abortion, euthanasia, and suicide. Abortion, euthanasia, and suicide. The 6th commandment does preserve the sanctity of life. And it also preserves God's sovereignty over death. He is the Lord of life. He is its ruler. He is its author, its inventor. And since he's the giver of life, it's his to take it away at his own time and in his own way. The Bible is very, very clear in this. The beginning of life and the end of life. Life begins at conception. And every life is precious in God's sight. The unborn child, made in his image, is precious to him. Yet, in 2012, the number of abortions in England and Wales was 185,122. Almost 200,000. Now, I suppose every week in 2012, 9 Boeing 747 aeroplanes fell out of the sky, each carrying 400 passengers who all died. 9 aeroplanes every week. Can you imagine the headlines then? Could you imagine the horror? Yet society seems intent on permitting and allowing murder day after day, week after week. They do know this is an extremely delicate area, and so I do speak with sensitivity. But we should speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. And the disabled and the injured are made in God's image. And the old are made in God's image, and the senile are made in God's image. The value of human life does not depend on what people can do. It doesn't depend on what they're worth financially. It doesn't depend on what they can enjoy. It's a fact that they're human beings created in the image of God. And friends, a word about suicide. And again, speaking very sensitively, but suicide is never right. And for a Christian to commit suicide is wrong. Though it's not an unforgivable sin, it is a terrible sin. It's saying in the most clearest way possible that the grace of Christ isn't sufficient. It's saying that God isn't a good enough refuge and strength. And he is. And his grace is sufficient. And you are able to cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. And so, how is murder committed? By abortion, euthanasia, and suicide. It's only God's job to take life. It's his to give, his to take away. The third way murder is committed is by carelessness. Carelessness. We read in Deuteronomy 22, verse 8. When you build a new house, make a parapet around your roof. It's like a little fence, a little low wall around the edge of the roof. Make a parapet around your roof so that you may not bring the guilt of bloodshed on your house if someone falls from the roof. This is one of the earliest health and safety regulations in the Bible. Houses then had flat rooftops. And even though the owner of the house would mean no harm, the law of God obliged him to take precautions, build a parapet around this flat roof so no one would fall off by accident and die. It was his responsibility to take steps to protect human life, to think ahead. Or we have Leviticus chapter 14, which is full of elaborate precautions to prevent the spread of infectious diseases. The principle is very clear. We're not to do anything that could possibly endanger the life of others. The implications of this are vast. Public safety in the workplace, in the home, on the farm. Think of the relevance of this for the doctor or the nurse or the chemist or the builder or the architect or the mechanic, or the electrician. There is a duty of care. We are not to be careless. We are not to be negligent. God says, if someone dies because you have been too careless, then their blood is on your head. This is why in our homes, we make sure we have working smoke alarms. When's the last time you tested yours? This is why in our homes, medicines are kept out of the reach of small children. We have a responsibility of care. This is why every time we get behind the wheel of a car, we make sure we drive with carefulness. All it takes is a moment of tiredness or distraction, someone to come out in front of us or the car in front to stop. How many people die on a road simply by accident? Carelessness, friends. A word especially to your young people this evening. Perhaps some of our young people think they're a little bit more invincible than other people when they're driving. I wonder if you look at your mobile phone when you're driving. What if you were to cause a fatal accident through your carelessness or your negligence? Scripture says, do not murder. Now, of course, we could show all the carefulness in the world and we could make every precaution and an accident could still happen. But God, but then the blood isn't on our head. We have an immense responsibility to show carefulness. Do we see how practical these commandments are? And surely this commandment should lead us all to pray for guidance and protection. Every time we get in the car, Lord, help me to be careful. Especially those of us working on farms or with heavy machinery, Lord, help me to be careful. Carelessness, how murder is committed. The fourth way murder is committed, lack of discipline. Lack of discipline. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. We're to honor God with our bodies. Jesus died to save our bodies. He died to redeem our bodies. And our bodies, we're told, are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Yet by personal indiscipline, we can damage our bodies and shorten our lives. The sixth commandment forbids smoking and alcohol abuse and drugs. But it also warns us about endless junk food and no exercise. Our body is not our own. Our bodies were meant to be worked. God said to Adam, by the sweat of your brow you shall eat bread. The fourth commandment says, 6 days you shall labor. We are meant to sweat, friends. Our bodies were created to be used in a physical way. And so if you're not taking exercise, we're breaking this commandment. We're not looking after our bodies. We're not taking care of them. We're not glorifying God with them. We're to care for our bodies. Now, the Westminster Larger Catechism on the duties required in the sixth commandment puts it well. The sixth commandment requires a sober use of meat, drink, medicine, sleep, labour, and recreations. It covers all things, this commandment. So lack of discipline. A fifth way we commit murder is anger. Anger. 1 John 3 verse 15. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. Or Matthew 5:22. I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. We have the expression, if looks could kill. Jesus is saying in the New Testament, in Matthew 5 particularly, sometimes our looks do kill. He's saying that anger is a form of murder. If looks could kill, I wonder how many people you would have murdered. How many people would I have murdered? This expression in our eyes, it indicates for a moment what we would really like to do to somebody. And we're angry. And we wish for a moment that person didn't exist. God says that's murder. It's not okay to just think angry thoughts. Matthew 15, verse 19. Out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder. Out of the heart comes murder, not from our hands. We behave as we think. Leviticus 19, verse 17. Do not hate your brother in your heart. It's especially tragic when there's anger in the church, when there's squabbling in the church, when people fall out with each other and they become enemies. The church is not meant to be a place where that happens. The church is meant to be a place of love and life. And sometimes people are killed, as it were, in the very house of God. Who among us this evening, friends, has never been angry with someone? We are all murderers before God. We've all committed murder in our hearts. A sixth way murder is committed is by doing nothing. Doing nothing. Premeditated killing, abortion, euthanasia and suicide, carelessness, lack of discipline, anger and doing nothing. Try to imagine committing a murder. It's quite hard, isn't it, to imagine committing murder. But friends, some of you may be committing murder this evening, even as you sit here. You may be murdering yourselves. You may be murdering your own soul. Because if you're here and you're refusing to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're refusing to trust in him, neglecting his way of salvation, you're committing suicide. Suicide not just for a few years of this earthly life, but forever and ever. You're killing yourself. You're destroying yourself. Jesus came to this earth that you may have life. If you ask him to be your Savior, the good news is you don't need to perish. But if you die without Christ, then you've killed yourself and your blood is on your own head. God says to you tonight, don't murder. Come to him and find life everlasting. So how is murder committed? And then finally this evening, how is murder forgiven? How is murder forgiven? Because we're all guilty of breaking this commandment. And this is a real problem because the Bible explicitly says that murderers will not enter heaven. 1 John 3, verse 15. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. Hell is what we deserve. We have blood on our hands. And yet, there is forgiveness for murderers. How we thank God, friends, that there's forgiveness for murderers. Consider the occasion when Jesus was on trial before Pontius Pilate. And it was the custom then, if you can remember, that one of the prisoners would be freed. The Jews were allowed to claim one prisoner to be set free at this particular festival. And Pilate offered either Barabbas, who was, quote, a notorious prisoner who had committed murder. Barabbas, a murderer. It was either Barabbas or innocent Christ. Pilate said, here's a murderer, Barabbas, and here's Christ. Choose one. Choose one of them to go free. And of course, they chose to release the murderer, Barabbas. I don't know, we're not told, if Barabbas walked past the cross. But if he did, surely he would have said, he's in my place. Jesus dying to save the life of a murderer. Or even more wonderful and glorious, on the cross, Jesus speaking to a murderer right beside him, not just a thief. The word indicates this man was a scoundrel and had committed murder as well. To him Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. Friends, thank God that he sent his son to rescue and forgive murderers. It's a terrible, terrible sin. We're all guilty, but it can be forgiven. It can be washed out with the blood of Jesus. There's no sin. I say that again. There's no sin that the Lord Jesus Christ cannot cleanse us from and forgive us. I don't know everything about you here this evening. And perhaps you're here, or perhaps you're listening to this recording, and you have guilt on your head. And you have murdered. You should know, friend, that there is no guilty soul that God cannot make whole or make clean. Whatever our past, however guilty our hands are, however implicated we have been, if we're Christians at all, we belong to the one who's able to make all things new. Jesus surrendered his life to murderers so that murderers like us could be forgiven and changed. And whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen.